The time is 1:52 p.m. We are back on the record for the formal hearing continuation of OPAPA 16-003 and 16-005.
Ms. Tang, your next witness is?
Mr. Walsh will be handling.
Okay, Mr. Walsh is your next witness.
Thank you. So, our next witness is Ms. Christine Lozama.
Please stand. Raise your right hand. State your name.
Christine Lozama.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please be seated.
Good afternoon, Ms. Lozama.
Good afternoon.
And thank you for your patience as we work through this morning, coming here this afternoon. Is it okay if I call you Ms. Lozama? Just some background information. Where do you work?
I work for the Guam Visitors Bureau.
And what do you do at GVB?
I handle the procurement for the office.
Okay. Procurement generally, I guess that's procurement. Anything procurable by GVB you handle?
I handle on the request for proposals and the IOBs that the Bureau solicits.
Okay.
I also manage the contracts.
Okay. So that also, I guess, obviously includes this procurement for the career marketing services. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
How long have you been doing that job?
This is my second year.
Okay. What were you doing before that?
Before that, I was handling the legal services for senior citizens and the medical referral for Guam.
Was that a Guam agency?
No, it wasn't.
Where were you working
contract.
For that? And you were doing that at GVB as well?
No, I wasn't, no. It was a contract by Fisher & Associates, and I was hired to administer the program.
Okay, so prior to GVB, you used to work in Mr. Fisher's office?
I work in Mr. Fisher's office.
Do you need to get any specialized training when you're going to be working in the procurement career you've gotten?
Yes, actually, it's in the law, and I just got through completing my modules that are required by law.
That's right. This is the sort of the new requirement that everybody who's doing government procurement gets some training.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about that training? I'm curious, where is it? Where does that training occur?
I think it's mandated by the government to have GCC administer the training.
Okay, so this is a series of classes up at GCC?
Yes.
I also think, because we're recording everything, saying yes or no is better than not.
I apologize.
Not
here.
No.
It's my first time.
I think just pretend I'm blind and I think it works out okay. So, GCC, they've got classes. Who are the instructors for those classes?
Jerry Perez and Attorney John Brown.
J. Thomas Brown, the author of the Procurement Primer. That Attorney Brown, yeah. When you are at the classes, is there a sort of like a curriculum or a
yes,
textbook?
A syllabus.
There is a syllabus.
Yes, there is.
And when you finish that course training, do they give you sort of a, here's a checklist or a Bible of steps to follow moving forward?
Take a test and you have to pass.
Okay. So did you take the test already?
Yes.
I assume you passed.
Yes.
Congratulations. When you're working at GVB, does GVB have its sort of like a standard set of operating procedures for running procurements?
Yes, they have procedures.
Okay. Are those procedures somehow different than the procedures that you learned in your procurement class?
No, not necessarily so.
Okay, not necessarily so. Are there differences?
Well, I learned a lot of new things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose, though, if there was a question about how to do something in a procurement and you were presented with a divergence between what you learned in the class and what your GVB SOPs were, which one would you follow?
We go to legal counsel.
Okay. So you follow the advice of your attorney on which one?
Well, he helps us to understand what it is we're reading.
Okay. That's fine. There's this Attorney General's office has a checklist about how to go through a procurement.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Is that something that you follow?
Yes, I have that.
Okay, do you follow it?
I try my very best to follow it.
Do you think you followed that for this procurement?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to make sure I just understand your role along the various steps of this procurement process, this particular RFP we're dealing with the Career Marketing Services, okay?
Okay.
So I'm just going to ask you a couple questions now about your what you were doing at specific times. Is that okay?
Sure.
Did you have any role to play in the decision that an RFP needed to be done?
No, sir.
Okay. When did you first become aware of this RFP process? For this contract?
The RFP process by direction of the general my general manager.
Okay.
Yes.
What did the general manager tell you?
Well, the general manager and the lead for the marketing section, Ms. Kono, they said that we were going to probably go out and rebid.
Okay. You also mentioned earlier, I think you were doing contract management items too, so does that mean that you had some interaction with the then existing marketing firm, TLK?
I apologize, let me clarify. Once the contracts are completed and the signature is obtaining them, I'm tasked to keep it safe and under lock and key. And
I understand.
Okay. Sorry.
So if there's contract performance issues, I should be talking to Ms. Kono or Mr. DeKnight, not you, is that correct? Okay, so you got an instruction that we GVB was going to come up with a maybe rebid it or bid the job out. So what did you do next? Did you help write the RFP?
No, sir. We have a standard template of that follows all the guidelines that are supposed to be followed with regard to the procurement law, we primarily work with the lead, who is Gina, and she provides us their scope of work for that division, and they also provide us with their evaluation criteria, and then then I put it into the format, into the template.
Okay. I guess in terms of the contents of what's in the RFP, do you shape that, or are you just taking what Ms. Kono gives you and put it into the template? I'm sorry if I'm being confused.
Could you clarify, please?
Yeah. Do you provide input on what the contents of the RFP are going to be reading? This job for this duration, these requirements?
As I said, it's formatted. So technically, if the lead tells you what it is, it's the standard is 1 year with a two-year option to renew, if that be the case. This is all pre-approved language. It's standard, and we try to be consistent.
Okay. If you needed to bid out, you had to get a car for GVB or something, my question is, do you have any input in shaping the requirements for the car, what kind of car, or do you just take what somebody gives you and put that into the car?
You mean the specifications?
Yeah, the specifications.
No, sir, unless I'm asked to. If my boss asks me to do a research and do an RFQ out to figure out, what... If we want this, they tell me what they want, then I'll try to, go out.
Did you have any input in the specifications of this particular RFP?
No, sir.
But that's good to know. Helps me move on a little bit faster. Okay, so you help with the RFP, maybe not necessarily in putting specifications in, if I understand correctly, but you help shape the RFP's... nuts and bolts, is that a fair way to put it?
I shepherd it together. We put it together as a package. I package it, get the ad placed, prepare the procurement binder, do what I need to do to make sure that there's adequate documentation, that every step of the way we know what we're doing.
Okay. And when you're doing that, you're following your checklist.
Sir.
I guess then that goes out. Do you play a role when the RFPs are when offerers or potential offerers have questions about an RFP?
Certainly.
Okay. And you answer those questions?
I consolidate all the questions that are being asked. They are formulated into a QA type response, and we send it forth to the lead with their assistance, and we get these answers. A lot of the times, The questions are related to something within the RFP that, and the answers are there. We just refer them back to that section of the RFP where the answer's located.
Okay.
And we send it up to the the president CEO for his review and approval.
I guess the Q and A's that get generated and the communications that come in from potential offers, what we're talking about now.
Yes.
You keep those together. You sort of.
Yes.
Is it fair to say you keep the procurement record?
Yes, I have to.
Okay. When the offers actually submit bids, you play a role in gathering those up as well.
They're gathered and they're secured until such a time that the chief procurement officer opens it,
okay,
which is documented.
Do you play a role in the selection of evaluators?
No, I do not.
How does GVB pick evaluators?
The general manager, or our chief procurement officer, he's the one who makes the final authority on. He gives the final authority on who is.
You play a role when the bids get open, I guess. What do you do then?
Document.
Yeah.
It's recorded.
So what are you documenting?
Everything from the time that we start, who's present. We have a login sheet. We document what was open, what the contents were, and we keep that for the procurement record. Every solicitation has a procurement binder.
Okay. So you are assembling that information. Do you generate a memo or a written report about that?
At the end of
the whole process, or
yes.
The end of that. I'm talking over you.
Okay.
At the end of the bid opening, you're generating a report, or at the end of
yes.
The.
At the end of the bid opening, I generate the report for the general manager. Names are changed, but. So that he knows that, you know, on this date we opened this, and this is what we found.
Do you do a similar sort of thing when the evaluations occur?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So do you participate in the evaluation meeting, for want of a better word?
Yes, I have to make sure that the evaluators are there, for one thing. We have each item is, you know, we present each item to the evaluators, and everything is documented. From the time they come and start to evaluate.
And you generate a similar report?
Yes, to the boss.
Do you play a role during the negotiation process?
Not the negotiation process. That's the chief procurement officer's job.
All right, so the chief procurement officer is the person that does the negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do offers who are selected for negotiation ever contact you during that negotiation period?
No.
So when do you next hop into the procurement process here? If you sort of step out during the negotiation phase, when do you come back into the process?
Oh, the negotiation phase is not done like with me present.
Mm-hmm.
So usually what will happen is after an agreement has been made by the chief procurement officer, the terms and conditions come back to me and they'll say, then I'll be instructed to initiate the contract if that's the case. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so your next involvement. So it seems
is that after award, what you're saying? There's going to be an award, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, right. That's what, if there was a successful...
Well, there's a process. There is a process. So after there's been some kind of a negotiation... Well, first of all, I think we're kind of ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Because when you're doing the when you're doing the opening, then you're doing the evaluation, then there's going to be a recommendation for who's got the highest.
Okay.
Right? And then once that's done, the report's made, and it goes to the chief procurement officer, and then he looks at it, and looks at what the evaluators have determined, and then there's a decision that's made on what to do. Those instructions come back to me.
Excuse me, if I could. You said several times the chief procurement officer
is our boss.
Okay, and who is the chief procurement officer in this instance?
Is Nate.
Nate.
Tonight.
Okay. So he has different, but in this instance, you view he's the chief, and he's the one who makes the determination.
The boss. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for that. Actually, I just had one question related to that. Are there different chief procurement officers at GVB depending on?
No, there's only one chief procurement officer. That would be Mr. DeKnight. And then in his absence, If for any reason he's gone and like we have to do an opening, his acting will be designated to at least open for him, but ultimately the decisions are.
But you're the one that's keeping the procurement record for him?
Keep the record for them.
Okay, so there is a negotiation period, right, that happens, and then at some point you get an instruction, it sounds like, to say that a contract is gonna move forward, an award's gonna be made. Is that how it works?
Yeah, my memo will usually say, sir, these are the results, you know, pending your decision, shall we proceed? Do you need any more information or decline it or whatever? We and he tells me that way.
Okay. When do you tell non-selected offerers, the losers, that they lost?
Our notices of non-selection, they don't go out until there's a notice of intent to award, and then there's the notice of award or to award. That doesn't go out, and the notices of non-selection and the notices to award, they go out at the same time.
Okay.
They go out the same time, did you say?
The notice of intent to award goes out, right, when you're thinking if you've got the highest person, so you intend to award to that person, but then that's when their negotiations begin. If that doesn't work, they go to the next person. That's normally how it goes, so, but, yeah. And so we do not sever any of we don't close the solicitation, the procurement, because what happens if the first person doesn't make it, you know, or doesn't want to negotiate, so then you have to leave that option open to go to the next person. So until there's an agreement made is when we finally do the notice of intent to award, and at that time is when the notice to award, and at that time is when we can send out the notices of non-selection as well.
So let me just kind of rephrase, because I'm a little bit confused here. I apologize.
Okay.
Because in some ages, and each age varies, there is the notice of intent to award, intending.
Yes.
Sometimes then later on there could be the notice of actual award.
Yes.
And, of course, the notice of non-selection.
Yes.
In this case, what did GVB do, or what did you do? Did you send out a notice of intent to award?
Well, I usually do. There usually is a notice. Well, I mean, I don't send it. I'm instructed to prepare the notices of intent. That goes out. I prepare all the notices and then I send it forward to Mr. Denai to agree to sign or not sign.
And who would normally sign the notice of intent?
It's always.
Okay.
It's always. I don't sign any.
Okay. So the notice of intent to award, and does that then begin the negotiation process?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So then assuming, and I apologize,
no,
I just
please,
want to
yeah,
clarify.
That's a lot of the
did
same things I
did she respond
asked.
To that? I didn't hear her last answer.
She said yes.
You said yes?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
So the notice of intent to award goes out, and that is signed by the chief procurement officer. You prepare it.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Then, so when would the notice of non-selection go out?
After they've already come to an agreement, and then there is going to be an award made, that goes out all at the same time.
So the non-selection may happen a few days later or sometime later,
mm-hmm.
depending on the negotiations.
No.
Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So it does not go out the same time.
Mm-hmm. Not the notice of intent, because
the notice of intent to award,
yeah.
But the notice of non-selection goes out later.
Yeah, with the notice to award.
So could you recap, okay, the notice of intent to award was sent to HIC,
mm-hmm.
signed by?
Mr. Denai.
Mr. Okay. Then what was the next process?
And then normally what happens is, it depends on the division, but in this case it's marketing. So the marketing team has this, what they do is they take the scope of work from the actual RFP, and then they make sure that the person that they're intending, you know, that they want to work with, initials every single requirement so that there's no mistake that that's what they want. So those are the marketing concepts that go out with that. And if they agree with all of that and they come up with a figure that's agreeable, then I'm given the note to go ahead and process the notice of award because there's an agreement made. And then at the same time, I process the notice of non-selections. That goes forward to...
When did you process the notice of non-selection? After?
After I was told that there's going to be an agreement.
Oh, once you're told,
yeah.
Someone tells you
yes.
That there is going to be an agreement.
Yes, because I'm not involved in the negotiation, so I don't know what the terms and conditions are going to be. So usually if they're going to be different than our standard 1 year plus two, or if they're going to be different from anything else, yeah, they'll let me know.
So is the notice of non-selection goes out once you know that there will be an agreement with the highest ranked person?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
What signifies agreement?
That they've negotiated, that comes to an amount that they agree to work with together, that they both agree on an amount of the contract, and then that's told to me because that has to be worked into the contract. Usually in the notice to award, the contract is attached, and we send them saying, you know, read through this, if this is in agreement with you, go ahead and sign it, and then, you know, send it back into us, and we'll complete the process.
So the notice of intent to award goes out, that's signed by the GM, negotiation then begins, and the scope of work, the terms and conditions are then confirmed by the highest ranking offeror.
Yes, sir.
And then agreement is determined by what, signature or initialing?
No, the chief criminal officer calls them. They do a negotiation. Like, say for example, it's off island,
mm-hmm.
then they have to get on and do a teleconference or something, and they negotiate.
I
believe so.
I'm just wondering if it's memorialized in writing by...
It is by the contract after they've agreed.
Later.
Yeah, because they'll give me that information. I input it into the contract. And it goes out with the notice to award, and if they agree, then all the terms and conditions are attached to it.
Okay, so after agreement, then the notice of non-selection and notice of award go out. The notice
yes,
of award
sir.
Has the contract attached.
Yes.
And when is the RFP process completed? Is it
after
when the contract is signed?
When it's signed, and then when we give them a notice to proceed on an agreed date with a copy of the contract for their records.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Yeah, thank you. Just on this question of the agreement, is it your understanding that the agreement, coming to an agreement with an offer that was being negotiated with, that agreement could predate the actual execution of the contract? When you're saying agreement, you're saying when the GM or the chief procuring officer and the offer are negotiating and they come to an agreement, that coming to an agreement can happen before signing on the dotted line on the contract?
Well, you know, when they're negotiating,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's done like before I have to come up with the terms of
okay.
the contract. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, because whatever they negotiated with the general manager, or Nathan, whatever they negotiated with our chief procurement officer, that has to be articulated to me so I can input it into the contract.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's done before they sign on the dotted line because it goes back to them unsigned, and they have to agree to it again by signing.
I got it. To say that reflects what we agreed to earlier.
Yes.
Is that correct? Does it ever fall apart between those two phases, the sort of conversation, coming to an agreement, and then the execution on the paper? Have you experienced a GVB procurement? Not?
Yes, sir.
Easy. Okay. And I just wanted to ask, be clear about this. In your understanding, if there's a procurement where you have offeror A and offeror B, and GVB has decided that we're going to negotiate with offeror A because they're the highest ranked, at what point does offeror B learn that somebody was higher ranked than them?
When they receive their notice of non-selection, because we provide them a copy.
And that's what you're talking about after a contract is entered into with offeror A?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So your understanding of the way the procurement world works is that if I am not selected, I'm not I'm not, selection's the wrong word. I'm not ranked as high as another person who you're going to enter negotiations with. I don't have to know about that. Okay, if that's your understanding, that's your understanding. I'm just asking.
I'm sorry, didn't hear.
I don't understand what that means.
Let me ask a question. So, you don't issue the notice of non-selection until there's an agreement with the highest ranked offeror.
Yes, sir.
And there's no contract signed at that point because the notice of non-selection and the notice of award go out at the same time.
Yes, sir.
And the notice of award has the contract attached.
Mm-hmm.
So the offerors who are not selected will know that they're not selected prior to the execution of the contract?
More than likely so, because they're going, it goes out at the same time and it's not signed.
Right, the contract is, the notice of non-selection and the notice of award go out at the same time.
Yes.
So the only way, I guess, that then the non-selected party is going to, the contract comes after. The contract will be signed after. Let me back up. Actually, the contract comes with the notice of award.
Yes.
Which is at the same time as the notice of non-selection.
But all of that comes after.
Could you say yes or no? Yes.
Well, I'm confused. I mean, I don't know which question I'm supposed to answer.
So for mine again.
Yes.
You have the notice of intentional award,
mm-hmm.
and you negotiate.
Yes.
And you come to you confirm there's an agreement. Then you issue the notice of non-selection at the same time as the notice of award.
Yes, sir.
With the contract attached.
Yes.
And the contract is signed.
Yes, with the negotiations memorialized in the contract, and then is that
yes.
what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay.
I'm now confused. I'm sorry. As I add, the notice of intent to award begins the negotiation process.
You have to say yes or no.
I'm sorry, yes.
Okay. It begins the and then there might be a few days, it just varies. And then once the parties have agreed, you're told, then you're to, so you prepare what will be the contract.
Yes, ma'am.
Memorializing whatever is the negotiation.
Yes.
And that you send that out in a document called notice of award.
You have to say something.
Yes.
The notice of award, okay, with the contract is just more to finalize because all the terms have been
negotiated. Yes, ma'am.
So does that notice of award, so at what point do you send the notice of non-selection? In this case, we had three others, TLK, Hendricks, and I don't know, EDLM. There was four people who, so you, but TLK, Penn something.
Promac.
Edelman. And then Edelman.
Edelman.
Yes. So is the notice of award sent out first?
No, the same time.
The same time?
Yes.
As the three?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But to confirm though, when that notice of award that has the contract for execution attached to it is sent out, the negotiation and the agreement has already been reached?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I guess the contract gets signed and comes back, and then I understand that you sort of keep that under lock and key for future use as needed, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, right?
Well, yes.
Sorry, yes. Actually, when that contract comes back, we have to complete the process by routing it through management to have it encumbered by our controller and that there are funds, you know, to certify the funds availability, and then also to have Chief Officer or President,
so
you'll sign it.
Okay. The certification of funds availability is done after this contract execution, not before the RFP? Is that?
No. To complete the contract, The signatories on the bottom, on the last page of the contract, are for the contractor, GVB, and our certifying officer. It's just, you know, just to get all those signatures, it's just to secure the signatures.
Do you route the thing to the AG's office for a signature?
No.
Who does the legal review of it? Counsel?
Mr. Fisher is our legal counsel.
Does that contract, in this particular case, HIC's contract when it was all signed, did it get routed to Mr. Fisher? Or let's say you finalize it, and you're ready to send out that notice of award. Prior to sending out, you know, did Mr. Fisher review the contract at all?
Yes, Mr. Fisher had to,
Objection. Privilege.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he's the attorney, I'm sorry.
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 Sorry, sir.
We're all sorry.
Okay.
You can ask a different question too. Does it go through the process of legal review?
Mr. Fisher.
Don't, no.
Looks, I'm not a fan.
No, I'm saying, is the standard process that the contract will go through legal review?
Not as a standard for our contracts. You mean at the end after the signature, Mr. Paris? I'm so sorry, I don't know. Before it happens, yes, Mr. Fisher is the one who looks at our language to make sure it's in compliance. Sir, I'm so sorry. Just getting confused, you mean for him to look at it before and then to look at it again?
I think the question was just directed towards legal review of the contract.
Is there, the question is there some form of legal review of the contract?
Mr. Fisher looks at our contracts.
Before it's signed?
Yes, to make sure content and context is correct, that I know of. If we have a question, we always have to route it to the legal counsel.
I just want to make sure, that's for all of your contracts?
Yes, sir, for all of our contracts.
Not just this contract?
No.
Okay, so that final review process is done, and then I guess you hold on to the executed final in-place original contract for future use, I guess. That's
yes.
Do you do any sort of other memorandums or summaries, like of the negotiation process or the process at the end of collecting these last signatures?
We do a notice to proceed.
Okay.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm actually asking if, you know how you did you sort of kept a summary of the evaluation phase and a summary of the bid opening phase. I'm wondering if there's something similar about the negotiation phase of this contract.
No, sir, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not involved in the negotiation.
So the only memorialization or summary of the negotiation process would be that executed contract language.
Yes, sir.
This contract, were there back and forth red line changes on a contract? Do you know anything about that?
Red line changes?
Changes in the document. So for instance, you were instructed, if I understand correctly, to take these negotiations and memorialize them into a contract. You remember that? Yeah.
Can I ask a clarification?
Sure.
Are we talking about this contract or are we talking about the current contract?
You mean
about
as
HIC?
TLK and HIC?
Yes, I'm asking.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the contract that was executed with HIC.
With HIC, okay.
I recall that's the new contract,
yes,
the one we're protesting.
I don't recall any redlining or any kind of changes being made, sir.
Okay.
It's the standard.
So what you sent out for the HIC contract was what was executed? The version of the document that you sent out to HIC,
yes,
the GVB sent out to HIC,
yes,
was the version that was executed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you remember how long that time period was between when GVB sent the contract out for execution and how quickly it was executed?
No, sir.
You mentioned is there a notice of intent document that's done as well in your procurement process?
The notice of intent to award?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is standard for everything?
Yes, sir, for everyone.
That's different than the notice of award?
Yes, sir.
And I, because I want to make sure I'm clear, the notice of intent to award is that document that lets the highest ranked offeror know that they're the highest ranked and GVB wants to talk to them about a contract.
Say yes or no?
Yes, yes.
It just needs to be clear.
I understand.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm nice.
I'm going to hand you. If I may, I'm going to hand you what the GVB filed the other day as a supplement to an agency procurement file. I just want to ask a couple questions about this.
So this is already marked as an exhibit?
I don't think this has been marked as an exhibit. I don't think it needs to be. I just want to use it for just to walk her through it. So,
let's just identify.
I agree. It's a supplement to an agency procurement file. So.
It's been filed. Maybe we can mark it.
Because we're going to reference it in the, it
sure.
Can be referenced, right? Can be,
yeah, I'm okay with that.
37?
Supplement two.
Sure. Can we just call it sub 21? You filed it. Let's call it.
August 4th supplement.
The August 4th supplement. Is it the only supplement on the
table? I would call it
there
C.
There were more supplements that were filed throughout the course, but I mean, this was filed August 4th.
Yeah, I think it was the only one on August 4th. That's all I'm concerned about. Okay.
So just call it 37, because that's your next exhibit in line, right?
Okay, we'll call it 37. Just take a moment to look at it and look up. If you have a chance to look at it.
I made it.
Yes, okay, that's what I wanted. Gonna do the lawyer formalities and make sure I know what this is.
Mr. Walsh, let's go off the record
sure.
For a moment. She'll take a moment to review that, and I just need to take care of something.
Off the record at 2:29 p.m. The time is 2:33 p.m. We're back on the record for the formal hearing of OPAPA 16-003 and 16-005.
Sorry, Mr. Walsh, to have interrupted. Please continue.
No problem, thank you very much. Ms. Lozano, so, you know, when right before we took that short break, I had handed you what we're calling Exhibit 37, which is this August 4th agency procurement file supplementation. And I was going to ask you if you had recognized this, and you were telling me you recognize it because how do you recognize it?
this is my workbook.
Okay. Do you keep a work log for the work you do?
Yes, I do.
Do you do that because of some instruction or some rule, or do you do that as just a way of doing your work?
No, Mr. Walsh, it's because I work with a myriad of tasks, and so in order to keep that separate and to also use it as a cross-check for myself, I try to, you know, keep a lot of things that I'm doing so that if I'm not done with a particular something, I can go back.
Understood.
Excuse me, just to clarify. So this is more for your personal.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Is this meant to be part of the procurement file?
No, ma'am, it's not. It's for my record, because I do it for everything that I do, whether it be, you know, contracts related or something.
Okay. So you, for any procurement that you're handling, because you're handling, quote, multiple procurements, this is to help you be better organized as to the where you are.
Yes, ma'am.
So, could I just go back to ask a question earlier, and I apologize, because you said you've been with GVB for how long again?
This is my second year.
This is your second year. Who was the person you replaced?
Her name was Ann Camacho.
Oh, Ann Camacho.
I think, I believe there was like a few months in between.
Okay. All right, so Ann Camacho, okay. So you, when you came in, who was the one who kind of told you how things are done?
Mr. Antonio Munoz.
And you said you were working for a nonprofit prior to GVB?
I was working for a private entity, yes.
Okay. Is GVB your first government job?
No, ma'am.
Oh.
It's not.
Okay. What other government agencies have you worked on?
I worked at the Guam Legislature for a few years.
Okay.
As a writer.
As a writer. So is this the first time you've handled procurement? GovCon procurement.
Government procurement, yes, ma'am. But not the first time you've handled procurement, but yes, GovCon procurement.
You've handled other procurements, but this is, if I heard, this is the first time you've handled GovCon procurement?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what you've learned about GovCon procurement has been due to your second year at GVB, as well as attending the class?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that's the totality of your work experience. Even though you worked at other GovCon agencies, you were not involved in procurement.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, so on this work log that you they make to help you keep track of items, let's just take one of these, for example, on page one. December 1, meeting with Pilar and Rose, and then you have a couple of, it looks like, Excel spreadsheet entries there. Are these entries made on December 1? Like, if it says December 1 and you've got information there, are those things that you wrote on December 1 as well?
Where are you looking at?
I'm sorry, page 1.
Okay.
If you look midway down through the page, on the there's like date indications.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that says 1 December.
Yes.
And then it says meeting with Pilar and Rose, and it's got other information as I go from left to right.
Okay.
Is this a entry that you would have made on 1 December?
Yes.
Okay. Is that pretty much the same for all of these other entries? These entries are made the same day as the action described there?
Pretty much. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right. All right, so let's go to page 2. And look at this entry on 16 Feb. So scroll down, or look down the page a little bit. 16 Feb evaluation. Could you tell me what was going on that entry of Feb 16? The description.
Evaluations. Oh, it started at 9:14, and it ended at 11:30.
Okay. Yeah. And then it says there's evaluators, and could you give me the TT is teletype degree,
mm-hmm.
GK is
Gina Kono,
SS is
Samson O'Hara,
and then NA
is Norm and Alyssa.
Okay. Shelly Calvo absent, 4 evaluators discussed and rated 4 offers. And I guess TLK, HIC, ProMag, Element, those are our offers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And who's Shelly Calvo? Is she part of the evaluation team?
She was supposed to be, but she recused herself because she was absent and didn't make it to.
Okay, so that's why there were
I have it on record that she recused herself.
She was going to be.
Yes.
But she recused herself prior to that day?
Well, she was supposed to show up and she didn't, and she apologized, and so she just said, you know, go ahead and proceed.
Okay.
And so we had to send a message to them.
So, and then it says there's like another entry there for 16 February work, and if I'll just read it, it says completed grading summary and memo to GM with results. Is this that sort of memorandum of the summary of the
evaluation
that you discussed earlier?
Mm-hmm.
So you did that the same day?
Yes.
Right. And then on 17 February, RQC, who's RQC?
It's my boss. She's our controller.
Okay.
Rose Cunliff.
Called you to receive the memo to GM with summary of evaluation. So that's the same summary that we're talking that you wrote on that 16th. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That yes.
I'm sorry, yes.
She has the memo and procurement supports her review. We'll hold until the GM returns on Monday. Okay, seems pretty self-explanatory. And then on the 17th of February, could you tell me what you did on the 17th of February, according to your work log?
The one you just read?
Mm-hmm. 17 February.
You just read. That Rose,
okay.
She called me to take the memo and to secure it until the GM comes on Monday.
That was 16 February.
No, that was
17. Oh, yes, I understand.
16 ends with returns on Monday.
Yeah, and 17 ends with
January. Yeah, okay. I'm talking about, if I'm getting two dates confused here, I apologize, but on 17 February, the description that starts with RQC called me
mm-hmm.
and ends with for GM's eyes only.
Yes.
The evaluations are for the GM's eyes only, is that?
Yes, and others, I gave them to her, but she didn't want to open them, so she, it's sealed and she said secure it.
Okay.
So Rose did not open it?
No, ma'am, she said she didn't want them.
Okay.
Did you find it important to put for GM's eyes only in your internal description for yourself?
She said Chris that.
I see.
I'm sorry, those are just my notes, it's just.
I got it, I understand. So this is what she said to you, not just your conclusion that this should only be for GM's eyes.
No, she told me.
I understand. And then on 19 February, you have something you call work here. It says, assisted Gina and sent out by email invitation to three top offerers. Is this the invitation to show up for oral presentations?
Yes, that's the invitation. Yes, for oral.
Okay. Do you remember how the decision was made to only invite the top three offerers?
Oh, sir.
Okay. Do you know why three top offerers were invited instead of just one?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay.
I believe it says that in the RFP. No, that's it. Can I?
He's not asking.
Yeah, it's all right. I just wanted to know if you knew off the top of your head.
I thought you were asking.
It's okay. Right. If the RFP says that, I'm sure we could fish that out. If you could flip over to page 3. And it says February 25, there's four entries there, three entries for oral presentations and one entry for work. Do you see that?
Yes.
And it looks like there were presentations from TLK, ProMac, and Happy Idea Company.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then it seems like the work you did was tabulating evaluations to prepare summary and memo to GM. Is that summary and memo that you made at the end of the day, the summary we were talking about earlier? So a summary of the
evaluations.
Yeah.
There's the summary for the evaluations and the summary of these are the oral presentations. Yeah. Yes, because I have to consolidate.
I got it. So you're taking two phases of the evaluations and putting them together.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You remember? Were you involved at all in the oral presentations? Were you in the room?
Yes, sir. I was.
You remember Mr. Pangalinan? Doing the presentation for HIC?
Yes, sir.
Did you know he was going to do the presentation for HIC before that day?
No, sir.
So it's correct to say the first time you knew Mr. Pangalinan was involved with HIC was on that day?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And just for one point, were you already employed with GVB when Mr. Carl Pangalinan was the GM?
Yes, ma'am, I was.
Okay, so you were there part of the time, and likely you were also there when he resigned.
Yes, ma'am.
So you knew him?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, but the first declaration that he was involved with this that you're aware of is showing up on that day.
Yes, sir.
Okay. On February 26, it says you're doing more work. You're transcribing notes for GM memo and presentation summary. What is that? I know what transcribing is, but what notes for GM? Notes from what, do you think?
From the evaluations and the presentations, if there were any notes that the GM should have been made known of, like... Things that questions that may have been raised or some issues that may have been addressed that need to be addressed. Like when you take minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. I had to transfer it
from
my notes. It makes sense of it and put it in a report for him.
And then the next entry you have here is on the 9th of March, where it says, per the GM, proceed with notices for his signature and contract for his review. Contract and notices done with GK for review. So per GM, this is So you're saying that this is on the instruction of the general manager, that's Mr. Dunn?
Yes.
Right? And you're being told to proceed with notices for his signature.
Mm-hmm.
Are those notices that the hearing officer, public auditor, and I were sort of talking about earlier?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's the notice to award?
All the notices.
Was this the notice of intent to award versus, because you said there's two notices.
Yes.
One is the intent and one is the award.
Yes.
So were these both notices? Do you, because your notes don't seem to say, because there's a gap from February 26th to March 9th.
Right.
When the notice of intent to award was sent versus the notice of award.
The notice of intent to award was the first letter that we typed up, but I think there was an issue where he wasn't on island, and so those things got scrapped. So see, my notes may be disjunct because I may have done some work and then, you know, something didn't happen for whatever reason. So you'll see further on down the road that I had to do work, and it's like this because this didn't happen. So, you know, just.
Okay.
I just record the work that I do like that day, so.
Quite thorough.
Just to help me.
And then the contract for his review that you're instructed, that's the contract that memorializes the negotiation that has already occurred by this point.
They've given me the terms and conditions to include in the contract, yes, sir.
So the notice that you're talking about is actually the notice of award, not the notice of intent to award. So the notice of intent to award went out earlier than that. Is that correct?
Went out earlier than what, sir?
Than March 9th? Because the notice of, if I understand correctly, the notice of intent to award, you okay? Do you need a break?
No, I'm
you
so
sure?
Sorry. My back is really, really hurting. I have a back problem. I need to get my stand up.
You may stand.
Or another chair. You want me to try another chair?
No, I really have a sciatic problem. Okay.
Need a break?
Yeah.
You need a break? You want
can
to
I?
Yeah, let's stop
I
for
a
minute if that's okay.
Take a 5-minute break.
Off the record at 2:48 p.m. We're back at the record at 2:55 p.m.
Just for the record. So the parties are going to be given their opportunity to make and present their cases as they need. And the parties have represented that they think that they can get it done today. If that doesn't happen and it needs to be another day, then.
No,
I think we do. We have to finish today.
We will finish just.
Not necessarily. I have a case too, you know.
Okay.
So.
We will make our best efforts to finish today.
So the parties, based upon their representations and time estimates, indicated that they thought we would be done today.
Right.
And that's how we are proceeding.
Correct.
Okay. Please go ahead, Mr. Walsh.
Thank you. So right before we took that little break, we were talking about this March 9th entry about proceeding with the notices for signatures and the contract for his review. And you told me that contract was the contract that memorializes the negotiations that had probably just concluded, I guess, or
mm-hmm.
had concluded.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So when this says notices, that means the notice for award, right? Because if I understood your testimony earlier, a notice of intent to award would have gone out before that.
Or it would have been prepared probably earlier or whatever, but it's just notices.
Okay.
All the notices.
Is it your understanding that a notice of intent to award could go out at the same time as a notice of award in the contract?
I don't remember ever doing one like that, sir.
Okay. And then on March 10th here, the 10 March entry, meeting with GM and GK, it says, GM asked for email copies of NNS and NOIA, done, contract and NTA signed, scanned and copies to GK, she will forward to HIC for signatures. Now, GK is Gina Kona, is that
yes.
correct? Do you do a fair amount of work with Gina Kona?
For her projects, yes, for her whatever she's leading to.
Okay, and I guess you're working with her specifically on this because of the...
Because she's responsible.
Okay.
That's her market.
And for this NNS and NOIA, that's a reference to a notice of non-selection and notice of intent to award?
Mm-hmm.
What date are you on, Mr. Walsh?
Sorry, March 10th.
Okay.
Second entry of March 10th.
Oh, yes. Okay, thank you.
So this does make reference of a notice of intent to award.
Yes.
But you'd at least agree with me that it doesn't look like a notice of intent to award went out prior to March 9th.
The GM just asked for emailed copies of it. When I emailed it. That's all he asked for on that date.
Okay.
That's how I read it.
All right.
He just asked me if I did it, you know.
Did you?
Yeah,
okay.
I said done. So I gave him a copy of what I emailed.
And is it your understanding that, or what is your understanding about what parties are supposed to get the NNS and the NOIA and the NOIA? Who gets copies of those documents?
My boss.
No, I mean of the offerers, of the people that have made a, you know, if for instance you and I are competing against each other on an agency job.
I understand.
You're the one that wins and you're selected. Do I get a copy of your notice of award at any point? No,
sorry.
I wouldn't do that.
No.
Would I ever get a copy of your notice of intent to award?
No, sir.
No. Not a CC, nothing like that?
No, sir.
Okay. So the only parties who get the notice of award, the notice of intent to award, are the person that's going to the highest ranked and then the eventual selected for contract?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you do work with Gina Kono. Are you familiar with Gina Kono's email of March 4th informing?
No.
Okay.
Sir.
You don't remember receiving that email?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay. Would you accept the fact that I told you you were CC'd on that email?
Oh, I probably was, but you asked me if I remembered and I said no, sir.
Okay, all right. Do you remember getting any emails from Gina Kono or CC'd on emails from Gina Kono about who was selected for
sir,
award?
Gina Kono, well, everybody I work with, they usually CC me on it, but you asked me if I recalled it, and I'm just telling you I don't recall
okay.
it, that's all. I didn't recall it at the time.
So the first time you heard that HIC was going to be either intended to be awarded or awarded this contract was on March 9th?
No, it was when, I don't know exactly the date, but I know it was when I was instructed to prepare the letters.
Okay.
Well, I did the summary, and I gave Mr. DeKnight the evaluation report, and so obviously I knew who was the highest ranking, but no, the instruction has to come back to me to tell me what to do.
And looking at your worksheet here, that date is March 9th.
Yes, sir.
So you had no knowledge on March 4th that HIC had been selected?
No, that's not what I said, sir. I said
okay.
I knew who was the highest ranking, but no, I don't know who. Yeah, the GM did not tell me who was the one he selected until such time as I made that decision.
Okay.
Just to clarify on that point, because you tallied the scores, you knew that HIC was the highest
rank.
But it wasn't until March 10th that you were officially informed that they were selected.
No, I believe it was on the 9th that I was
told, the
9th. Yes, ma'am, to prepare the notices. The GM had directed me to do
so. When he told you on March 9th, he confirmed what the score said, that HIC was, and to proceed with HIC.
Yes, ma'am.
But it was not until March 9th, or that, even though you had given him earlier, and you kind of knew in your, and so at that point, only you and the GM within GVB were the only two people who knew?
As far as I know, I didn't tell anybody else.
Thank you.
And if I told you on March 4th that HIC was told by Gina Kono that they were the highest ranked and selected for award, then they wouldn't have known as well, right?
If you're referring to the email that you're saying she sent on the 4th?
Yeah.
That was probably when she sent out her marketing concepts. I don't know I don't remember the language that she put on her email. To be truthful, I don't remember what was on it, but.
You know, earlier you said the GM selects.
Yes.
What do you mean by the GM selects? I was under the impression that the offerers get ranked.
Yes.
And then whoever settles on number one is the one that you negotiate with.
Yes, but still the GM has to direct, you know, he has to make that selection. On the bottom it says, sir, you know, this is who's the highest ranking. You know, do you want to proceed? Do you not want to proceed? I have these little.
Okay. I got it. So he's saying move forward with that number one, but it's not a selection of anything.
No, it's the what's ranked there.
Okay. On the 4th entry of March 10th, it says 10 March, meeting with GM and TJF. Met with GM and Tom Fisher regarding notice content. It says attorney-client privilege. Notice is scanned and copied to GK for email. NTA and contract FedEx. NNS and NOIA mailed.
Mm-hmm.
Assume that the TJF and Tom Fisher, that's GVB's counsel, Mr. Fisher, of course.
Yes.
Right? And this little entry here of attorney-client privilege, help me understand that. Is there something there that you redacted and put attorney-client privilege in there, or is this a note to remind you that there's something privileged here?
That's redacted.
Okay, so there was something there that was redacted. I got it. And who did the...
Say yes or no.
Oh, yes.
Who did the redaction?
My legal counsel.
Okay, is that the same as GVB's legal counsel?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher? All right. Okay, I understand. So there was something there, but that's redacted. So everything here that's not redacted, you don't think there's a privilege issue. Or I guess your counsel doesn't believe there's a privilege issue. But... okay. I noticed that in your worksheets earlier, I may be incorrect, I think there's one other reference to attorney-client privilege previously, that's on 19 November.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's been redacted out. And then the next time it seems like the attorney has stepped in here is because of this notice issue.
No.
No? Okay, well, correct me. Please correct me.
What do you mean?
Well, it seems like you were reliant upon your counsel on November 19th for something that was privileged. November 24th, cleaning up the RFP. And then we don't need to rely on counsel again, at least on your sheet, until March 10th to deal with the NOIA. And you said no, and I'm like, okay.
Because there's also some matters on the 20th of November and...
Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant since November 20th.
24.
November 20th, November 24th. You don't have to involve the attorney on this in December, January, February. You only really need to start being involved with the attorney on March 10th. And it seems like the reason for that is this NOIA issue.
I guess.
Okay.
You
see this 10 March entry, meeting with GM and GK, 10 March.
Yes.
Attorney-client privilege. It says, NOI was dated 3/4 because GK emailed marketing terms to HIC on that date, but GM was off island, so NOIA did not get completed then. NNS, the notice of non-selections, were dated 3/9, which is the date I worked on them. GM thinks all should be dated on the same day, attorney-client privilege, and has attorney-client privilege at the top. Was your attorney involved in that meeting on the 10th?
No, not in that first meeting, no.
Okay, but we've still redacted things from that meeting on the 10th on the grounds of attorney-client privilege? And a meeting with no attorney?
That's not...
I don't know what you mean.
Maybe for clarification.
When
these obviously were, you had a notes.
Yes.
And you had written something, like on the 10th, you wrote
yes.
something, but due to discussion. So on the date of March 10th, when did the attorney talk to you to redact that?
When he was going to submit this for, these were my own personal records that I didn't.
Okay, so this was done, because this was submitted August, we received this, you go to the front, this was submitted August 4th.
Yes.
So it was, is it safe to, did this happen sometime later?
The
redaction?
Yes, ma'am. No, it happened.
Because I assume these are contemporaneously, and then he came to review your notes. And then based on that conversation, there were certain areas he said to remove
mm-hmm.
and put attorney-client privilege.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. There were two meetings on the 10th. One was first with Gina and the GM, and because of that.
No, I'm not talking about March. I'm just talking, when did you rewrite attorney-client?
Right when I turned it into him.
And when
was
that?
I don't remember the date. It was in August.
Sometime in August.
Yes, ma'am.
So it was only just recently,
yes.
within the last 2 weeks,
yes, ma'am.
That your notes were redacted,
yes, ma'am.
As determined by the attorney.
Yes, ma'am.
But prior to that, they were all there.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Do you know if there's a privilege log that was kept of the redactions that the public auditor might be able to review if she needed to? If there's an unredacted copy, that I guess that constitutes the log.
Do you have a before and after?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have the before?
I have the before.
All right. Can you tell me on this March 10th entry, the middle of those, the one that goes meeting with GM and GK?
I'm sorry, what date?
10 March.
Okay, still.
Starts off with attorney-client privilege, and then it describes this issue about GM thinks it should be on the same day. Can you tell me what is going on in this description so I can understand what the discussion or debate was about?
Because let's see.
I want to caution you now. You're bordering into attorney-client.
Yeah,
I have to say. So if what are we doing? Don't want to tread there. You can only speak. That's not attorney-client.
Right. Obviously, without telling me what your attorney and you discussed, or what GVB's attorney discussed, what was the issue raised by this 3-4 and 3-9. And I'll say just one other thing just about that privilege issue. Everything was redacted, but we've agreed that these are unredacted portions. So this discussion about March 4th versus March 9th, I think, doesn't seem privileged. So.
No, I created the NOIA on the 4th when I was told that we're going to move forward with the highest ranking. But when he said prepare the notices, but I didn't know he was going to be off island by the time I finished doing it. He's not off on island, so he didn't get done. So then, when I heard he was going to be on the 9th, I prepared it again for the 9th. And then it's like, okay, wait a minute, hold on. We're going to do the notices and the award, make sure we're doing everything on the same day, make sure we do everything right. I was being reminded.
I got that. So all dated on the same day, that means to make it all on the 10th, it seems like.
Yes, instead of.
Because
I had the NNSs and the NOAs, notice of award, but was still working on the, you know, the terms and everything. It wasn't quite done. He goes, no, 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 we do it all at the same time.
Okay.
Don't send anything out unless it's the same time.
And if I understand it correctly from what you testified earlier, though, by then all the negotiation with HIC had already been completed. Okay. Yes?
As I understand.
Looking at your notes here, can you tell me when the contract to HIC was actually signed?
No, sir. Off the top of my head, honestly, I don't.
Yeah. What about on your if your notes help you?
Okay. March 15th.
Okay.
Right? March 15th, signed contract received from HIC.
Okay. Did you get a emailed scanned version of that before then?
Oh, I have to receive the originals.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, and you're waiting for the originals to come in. But did anybody sort of send you an email scanned copy saying sort of, here it is, it's on its way, anything like that?
It didn't come to me, sir.
Okay.
I don't remember it.
I also noticed that on back to the last entry there of March 10th, the notices scanned and copied to GK for email, and then notice to award and the contractor FedEx, and the notice of non-selection and the notice of intent to award are mailed.
Mm-hmm.
Why FedEx the notice to award and just send by slower mail the notice of non-selection? Why not FedEx everything?
They were all emailed first so that they have it, but yeah. The actual originals, the FedEx, the original contract has to be FedEx because we're sending an original contract and we need the originals back.
Okay. So the reason for the FedExing here, it seems like more for the contract, not for the notice to award.
Yes,
but
sir.
Only because the contract is attached to the notice of award. But the FedExing purpose is for the contract.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But they were all emailed. Everything was, you know, at the same time.
Okay. Let's go over to March 25. It says AM, request from AM. Who's AM?
Tony Mooney.
Mr. Munoz asking for entire procurement file, still not completed, so I will give him my procurement binder.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 25th of March, if I understand correctly, the procurement file was not completed yet.
I was still working on it.
Okay. When is it your goal to have such procurement files completed by, with relation to the notice of award?
Usually it's supposed to be done like right after the original contracts are all signed and everything's in place and in the contract folder, but depending on my workload, sometimes I'm working, you know, 3, 4, 5 solicitations at a time, so I have to work one box at a time to secure, put everything together.
Okay.
It just takes me a little bit of time.
Could you please go to page 4?
Okay.
We're gonna skip ahead to May 2.
Okay.
Or 2 May.
Mm-hmm.
A meeting with GM and RQC.
Mm-hmm.
Says regarding work 5250 requirement procurement rule.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that description?
I'm sorry, what date was that again?
2nd May.
Okay. May.
So says meeting.
Okay.
Meeting with GM and RQC and says regarding work 5250 requirement procurement rule. What do you understand that to mean?
There's supposed to be a certification of record, completion of record. That's
okay. And that came up for discussion on the 2nd of May.
Mm-hmm.
You'd agree with me the 2nd of May is sometime after the 10th of March?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And then, you know, I'm curious about this entry on May 6th. GM feels like as it being pulled in two areas. I think it matches your May 6th description about boxes being stored. Seems like there was some issue about the way the boxes were being stored.
Yeah, they're supposed to be. My boss said under lock and key, and I can't carry all the boxes, and lots of times I stay and work late, so I try to secure it as much as I can.
I understand. Probably hard with the sciatica. Okay. And again, I don't see any entry here about a negotiation summary or memorandum, and from what I understand, you don't do that.
No, no negotiation summary, sir.
Okay. Just give me a moment. I just got, earlier we talked about the Professor J. Thomas Brown class that's being taught at GCC to get people up to speed, and then I had asked you if they pass out sort of list or checklist, or if we rely on checklist, and I asked about the AG, Attorney General's checklist. I want to make sure we're talking about the same one, so I'm going to... I just want to make sure that I'm talking about the same thing you're talking about.
37, 38?
38.
Yeah, maybe just ideas, 38. Take a moment. Is this sort of the same checklist? Because I think Mr. Brown has a checklist in his procurement primer, and I think I've seen some other ones. But when we talk about the Attorney General's checklist, is this the one we're referring to? This 38? Is it the 38?
I know this is the Attorney General's checklist for RFPs, but the one I was referring to was that checklist that I put in front, you know, the, did you do this, did you do this, did you do that? It's in the Attorney General's log. I don't have it with me. It's like a one-pager, and then at the bottom it says, I certify under whatever penalty.
Like the short form checklist, yeah.
It's put in the file.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. You've knocked off. Yeah, there's a one-page version that's supposed to be put in the file.
But you're familiar with this one?
Yes.
Do you follow this one at all?
I try to the best of my ability and wherever I go.
How long was that curriculum in those procurement classes? How long was the, like if I wanted to sign up and take it? Semester?
So whenever they get a teacher, for one thing, and then it's three times a week for 2 hours a day? For about 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks.
On average, 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah. 3 weeks, right? On average, 3 weeks.
On average? About
three that. Times a day. Three times a week.
Three times
two
a week.
Hours.
2 hours a day.
Okay. And I want to make sure I didn't overlook this. You don't do the negotiation memorandums because that's the general manager's task, in your understanding?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Or I guess the chief procurement officer's task.
That's what I was.
Okay. Have you seen one? Do you know if he did one?
No, sir.
You don't know, or you don't know if he did one?
Both.
Okay. There is not one.
I don't.
Yeah,
know.
You've never done it before. Okay.
No.
I don't have any further questions for you. I may if.
I have a follow up, if I may. Okay. I didn't see it in this checklist, but the Attorney General has gone out on record saying that any contracts in excess of $500,000 need to be signed by the Attorney General or designated.
Just designate.
Yes. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, and I know that Mr. Fisher was designated.
Okay, so Mr. Fisher is the designated because that's your legal counsel.
Yes.
So does your legal counsel normally sign on a contract that is in excess of $500,000?
I do apologize, ma'am, but I think this question is subject to objection as well.
What's the basis?
Well, it's contracts in excess of $500,000 require the Attorney General's input, not as a signatory. GBB is a separate entity.
No, I'm aware of that because it can be, for example, the legal counsel of GPA will sign on behalf in that capacity. That's what. Let me rephrase. You're aware of the requirement.
Yes, ma'am.
That contracts in excess of $500,000 would go through some form of
legal
review.
Counsel. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. A legal
review.
All right. So in GVC's case, because you have your own legal counsel, it doesn't have to go directly to the Attorney General's office. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so who performs that legal review of a contract in excess of $500,000?
Geez, our legal counsel.
Does your legal counsel normally sign the contract to indicate that that review took place?
No, ma'am.
No?
Not to my knowledge.
So on any of the contracts that in excess of $500,000, to the best of your knowledge, legal counsel does not sign off?
Not that I know of.
That's okay. Thank you.
Mr. Fisher, do you have any questions?
I may. I'm going through the procurement law right now in light of the last line.
Here it is.
Could you give me the citation, ma'am?
I'm reading the last section. They're trying to, or his designee, it's section 5150. Duties of the Attorney General, and it says the attorney or his desk, including one or more special citizens, in addition, when he approves contracts, determine not only the correctness or their form, but their legality. In making such a determination of legality, he may require any or all agencies involved in the contract to supply him with evidence that the required procedures preceded to executing the contract was carried out. He or his designees may prescribe the forms and format required to be followed by the agencies in aiding him in his determination of form and legality.
Got it. If I could just make my objection clear then on that. It says, my interpretation of it is, got lawyers in the room now. It says that for contracts that shall result in an award of $500,000 or more, the Attorney General or his designee, including one or more, who may be so designated or appointed by the AG and subject to any reasonable requirements or conditions determined, shall act as legal advisor.
Correct. I was reading the sentence before.
Right, and then period. It says the Attorney General or his designee, including one or more special assistants, Attorney General, when he approves contracts, because the Attorney General doesn't approve every single contract. So my the nature of my objection is that these are two separate concepts. $500,000 or more, you got to have a legal advisor. And then in those instances, when the Attorney General approves a contract, such as for legal services, he has a different role. But anyway, that's the nature of my objection.
I think the objection as to misunderstanding the law is fine if she's giving a legal conclusion about it, but I think the witness is completely able to give her perspective on her understanding about whether or not that exists without it being a legal conclusion.
All I was asking was whether or not legal counsel signs the contract. That's all I was asking.
Okay. So, I mean, the responses are not objectionable, so that's a report. Do you have any other questions, Mr. Fisher?
No questions, thank you.
Thank you.
So, you're excused.
Thank you.
Thank you again for your patience this morning.
Hope your sciatica.
Oh, I should say thank you. Keep going like this.
Can I ask a question completely off the record for a moment if she steps up? It's about FESTA.
Off the record for a minute.
Off the record at 3:27 p.m.
Thank you.
We're back in the record at 3:30 p.m.
Your next witness, Mr. Walsh.
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, we'd like to ask Mr. Henry Lee to step up.
Please raise your right hand. Please state your name.
Henry Lee.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please be seated.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lee.
Good afternoon.
We have a couple of questions for you, but I do want you to provide just a little bit of background to the public auditor and our hearing officer. Can you tell me what you do for a living?
Right now?
Yeah.
I work for some of the Guam business called Baba Corporation.
You're also working with the TLK, right? I mean, you're the, and what do you do with TLK?
TLK, we do a service for the GVB before, and now Baba Corporation.
Okay. What's your position with TLK?
Did you say Baba?
Yes, Baba Corporation.
What's your position with TLK?
I'm a president of TLK Marketing.
You know, you were the previous holder of the contract for Guam Korea Marketing Services, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you remember when TLK started doing that work?
2008, February.
Okay. And the last month you did work for GVB was when?
March 31st, 2016.
What was the Korean visitor numbers, what were the Korean visitor market numbers like into Guam when you first started doing your work for GVB?
First time when I started, it was 2008, the Korean arrival was 110,000.
A month?
No, per year.
Okay, thank you.
And for last year, 2015, we have a new record of 424,000 Korean arrival, which is a 370% increase over the last 7 years.
I suppose along with that increase, there's a need for flights to Korea. Did you have a role, did TLK have a role in working with making sure there's flight capacity for these passengers?
Yes, that is the our number one priority, to bring it in more airline. And now we do have four airline coming in, Jin Air, Jeju, and Air Busan, and T-Way. Used to be only one gateway from Incheon, but now three gateway from Incheon, Busan, and Daegu. So 2008, we only had 11 flights per week. Now we have 64 flights coming in every week.
What role?
From 11 a week to 64.
Yes.
What role did TLK play with the flights? I mean, help me understand why that has anything to do with your work.
We work with the GIAA to give us more reason for them to come to Guam. And usually we work as a team. And they give us like an incentive for the new airline carrier to come in. And we work with the travel agent to fill more seats for them to have a profitable growth factor coming to Guam.
Were you a, did you submit a bid on this RFP? Pretty obvious.
Yes, I did.
When was it that you first learned that TLK was not going to be selected to continue working with GIAA?
March 10th.
March 10th. How was it that you learned that?
I got an email from Gina Kono
okay.
that they have a the highest okay. offer.
I think this is Mark.
Can I just ask?
Of course.
Because the timing is down. According to Ms. Christine Lazama's notes, and I'm going back to the notes, on October 19th, which would be October 19th, 2015, okay, Gina Kono Gina Kono advised that Korea contract should be extended month to month and will not be renewed. Your contract was to be renewed 1 year with two options So when October of last year came about, your contract was not extended and you were on a month to month.
Yes.
Yes. So you became aware back in October you were on a month to month.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Was that ever explained to you why you were on a month to month?
Not at that time.
But you were already on notice.
Yes.
That it was a month to month.
Right.
Thank you.
So just to move things along here, this is Exhibit 18. Actually, I'm going to call this 18A if that's okay, because it includes the cover letter. One of these to Mr. Fisher. Give one of these to you, Mr. Weed. This is 18, but it's easier. So when you say...
This is 18A.
18A, we're calling it. Yes, thank you. And is this the letter that you received that helped you understand that you were not going to be the awardee?
Yes.
Okay. And again, this March 10th is the first time that you received any notification that you were not selected for award or you were not the top ranked?
Yes.
Right. Okay. I'm going to ask you to flip over to the next page, the summary of evaluations. Is this March 10th? Summary of evaluations you received the first time that you realized who the highest ranked person offer was?
Right.
And who was the highest ranked offer?
HIC.
Okay. Were you familiar with HIC at that time?
Very familiar, because we worked together for 1 year.
When you say you worked together with HIC, what do you mean?
They're our subcontractor for PR, assigned by GBB.
They were your subcontractor for PR, and how did they become your subcontractor?
GBB assigned to us.
So GBB put HIC in as your subcontractor,
correct?
Right?
When was that?
It was February 1st of 2015.
2015 or 16?
15.
15.
Yes. So we worked together for 1 year.
For 1 year.
Yes.
And this was at the instructions of GBB?
That is correct.
When you saw that HIC was going to be the awardee of this, the eventual awardee of this, what did you do about that?
Well, I was very surprised.
Yeah, why were you surprised about HIC being selected?
Because I don't think they are qualified for a 5-year company. And also, after we worked with you, we found out that there's a lot of unfairness communication going on.
All right, so let's take it carefully here. So you found out you're not selected, you engaged a law firm, is that correct?
That is correct.
Right, so you talked to us?
Yes.
Right. And what did you have us do?
Get into a Sunshine Act.
Right. What did you learn from the Sunshine Act that was concerning to you about the selection of HIC?
Well, first of all, I didn't know there is a company called SD Farm, and we looked into that company. It was a private company owned by Mr. Park Sedong.
That's Don Park.
On the online company registry that we found out, it's always say Park Sedong.
But is he
done? It looks
Park?
Like, yeah, done. Because when you look at the HIC, it was a done part there. So, and it's a pharmaceutical wholesaler. And it's a private company. And I don't think it's the company has been closed yet. It's still in operation.
So I'm going to ask you to flip through our exhibit book there to what we've marked as 28.
28.
You're able to find that back towards the...
I think it's probably in the loose ones.
It's the last one. It's the last one.
The last one.
The loose ones.
No, the last one.
That was the last one in the package.
Yeah, there are no two of them. Okay. Yeah. So this exhibit 28 that exists here.
There's so many materials. Sorry. Thank you very much.
Have you seen that exhibit 28 before?
Yes.
All right. Now, how did you come to see that?
We go through the online company registry company, and we pull out this information.
And what is this information telling you?
It says The representative is Park Se-dong. The company was registered at January 23rd, 2006. Company category is individual business, and category of industry is a wholesale of a medicine.
Okay. So this is the SD Farm that you saw in the Sunshine Act response that you reviewed that we got for you.
That's right.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to look at Exhibit 4.
Before you go to that,
can
you just clarify, this was obtained pursuant to a Sunshine Act request from the government?
No. We did a Sunshine Act request to the government on behalf of Mr. Lee.
Right.
The Sunshine Act request showed us the HIC proposal to the RFP that said that they matched the experience requirement because they had SD Farm.
Right.
That resulted in Mr. Lee's current line of testimony where he's saying that he went out to find out from the Korean registration, what is SD Farm? Is that HIC or is that a different corporate entity? And got this document showing that it's a separate corporate entity. It is not HIC. And that's where I'm going forward.
You went online and researched it.
Right, we can talk about that process. How do you get this information, Mr. Lee, in Korea?
Through the online.
Yeah, is that a standard way of doing things in Korea? Is it easy to access?
Yeah, I mean, once you register, it's easy.
So if you can keep that marked, or just because we may go back to it, I think there's a, let me give you a little post-it note here. So I'm asking you to just keep that marked, and then let's go to Exhibit 4. Actually, if you see base stamps number 254, 24, the 240s, 250s, it's right after that. So have you seen this document before?
Oh, yes.
What is this exhibit?
This is HIC corporate registry.
In Korea?
Yes, in Korea.
And what is this showing me as terms of when HIC was started as a company?
It says date of establishment was August 31, 2011.
Date of registration for, and then if you look at the top on page one,
mm-hmm.
HIC Company Limited, what's the registration date listed there?
February 22nd, 2013.
Okay. And is this the HIC Company Limited that was the awardee of this RFP
that
on
water
we're protesting?
Yes.
Are you protesting this award simply because you lost?
No. I think if Promec had won, I don't protest the award. But since I know the company of HIC very well, I thought that it was a wrongful award, basically.
Okay.
Wrongful award, why?
Because they don't meet the 5 years company.
Thank you.
Mr. Lee, where does this document come from, this corporate registry?
This corporate registry, actually, when we subcontract the HIC, we required to have this corporate registry, and then it's public, so we just get the updated one.
From where did you obtain it?
From my accountant.
Okay. Okay, it had been provided to TLK from HIC?
Before, yeah.
But is this a cop, is this just a retyped copy?
Retyped, the updated one.
Okay, the reason I ask is because there's, it's not, doesn't have like a, an original, like a, the seal is, doesn't look like there's a signature or seal. I mean, it indicates that one exists, but.
Oh, the original Korean one has had a seal, but this is a translation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So where is the, I know you have a translation to exhibit 28, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
We have, we forgot to attach.
Oh, the original Korean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we.
So if you, so can you guys, can you submit that?
I will, yeah, I apologize.
Yeah, so here's what the Korean entire, it's identical, but it has the.
The Korean.
Portion.
Portion in it, with the trans, so it matches what it looks like exhibit 28.
But exhibit four is just a tran, is a translation?
I guess, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's sort of.
So this one has the, I guess in Korea when they translate, they put a notarial stamp.
Uh-huh.
That's, and it's done by an attorney, so that's why you have the notary stamp. It's like an official translation.
I'm gonna object to this. There's no evidence. She's just arguing facts, not evidence.
Well, okay, well, I mean, I was making the inquiry.
True, but I mean, if they're going to be submitting it and making a contemporaneous representation, there is no proof of this.
I would note that it was attached to our comments to the agency report. It's no different, yeah. So I'm just using the same document that was attached. Except for the exhibit, we somehow left out the Korean part, but the entire document was attached.
Well,
stand, I stand on my objection.
Sure. I think the other thing I'd say is the witness can certainly provide live testimony and has about how this was obtained, where it was obtained, how he got it, and can actually testify about it. Hearing officer asked for us to clarify the original Korean, so we have it.
Right. I cannot testify as to the authenticity.
Okay, why do you say that?
Well, where's the proof of the authenticity?
The notarial certificate.
It was not notarized at the U.S. Embassy.
The rule of evidence that we're using for that in these proceedings is what, Mr. Fisher? I'm unsure about the need for this to have been notarized at an American embassy.
So let's get the testimony.
Yeah,
okay.
I think we can fix this one.
Let's get the testimony and then you haven't moved to it
yet. It seems clear that in our briefing, findings of fact, conclusion of law, that we are not entitled to add more evidence. Is that a fair representation?
Right, I mean, once we complete this.
Okay.
Sorry, thank you.
I also understand he's going to object to 4 and 28.
Right.
And we'll deal with that later. Let's move to
that's
this.
Gonna, that's going to be
my
helpful.
Suggestion. So, Mr. Lee, let's go a little bit slower here. This notarial certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me, walk me through the process of how this is obtained?
A foundation.
And can we call this 4A?
Sure.
I'm sorry, there's a foundation objection. Could we deal with that?
Okay, hold on one second. So the document with the notarial certificate will be 4A, okay? And then your question to Mr. Lee was to walk
I'll walk us through how this was obtained.
The notary?
Yes.
And then your objection on foundation is what?
Well, let's see if he has personal knowledge.
Okay.
I'll reserve on the objection.
So we got the, actually we got the, we asked for the HIC for the certificate of registered incorporation that we had the subcontract contract back in February 1, 2015. And since that's quite old, so we asked our accountant to provide the update one, and it's a public information, so he could get it for us. So.
Who got it for you?
Our accountant.
Okay. Who does he work with?
He worked with us here.
Okay. Is your accountant his name present on this document anywhere? I think
no.
If you
no.
You said this is a public document. Is this something you can obtain online?
Yes, you could do that.
Okay. So, if I were to instruct one of my staff to obtain it online, would he be able to do it?
I think so.
If you gave us all the right
I could do that.
And it's a government record?
It's a government.
It's a government record.
You've gone to a government website?
Yes. The corporate ones are valuable, but like a private one, the SD Farm, that's unavailable because it's a private company.
Oh.
Yeah.
So is...
This one is publicly available.
Oh, because it's a public company?
Incorporation, yeah.
Yes. But private companies are not?
Yeah, then we have to go into the online special company that will handle those kind of things.
Thank you for that clarification.
The website, the government record keeping website where you obtained this from, is that in English or Korean?
In Korean.
In Korean. I'm going to represent to you that we needed an English copy of it because I don't understand Korean. So somebody had to get this translated. Can you tell us how this got translated?
This one is translated at the notary firm, notary certificate, the law firm. There's a translator there, and the name of the... On the back, I swear that the attachment translation is true and original, March 23, 2016, signed by Seo Mi-soo. She's the law firm's translator.
And who was it that obtained the translation? Who? This translation was done at whose request?
Our request.
Yeah, your request was
yes.
Done, right? Okay.
You have to pay a fee for this translation?
It's very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yes.
Still got a problem?
Yes, I do. I think a foundation has been laid as to the translation. This notarial certificate is not properly notarized for use in the United States.
Okay, you might know the rule that you rely on, though.
I don't, but I believe it has to be, notaries have to be obtained at the United States Embassy.
Your response, Mr. Walsh?
I don't understand how in these, I know this is an administrative proceeding,
right.
But for the agency without a good faith basis to simply raise a rule of evidence objection that would belong in a federal district court, while without a good faith reason to question the notaries from this law firm on a government publicly available document that a witness has just testified that anybody in this room can go get to back up, I think it's just an objection to just keep documents out for no reason. I think he's personally done it. He's testified under oath that he went off to got it, where he got it from. He's testified under oath about the process of getting a translation. He's a Korean language speaker, so he could under oath read the document and translate it. We could be here till 6 p.m., I suppose, if he wants to do that. But I don't see a good faith reason for this objection even be raised at this point.
What about Mr. Fisher, the idea that the rules of evidence are not strictly applied to these proceedings?
I understand that. I do understand that. But I would also note that we are not the proponent of this document.
Right.
The other side is they have at least a threshold obligation
okay, so
to establish its authenticity.
The objection will be overruled.
Understood.
The document will... Did you move for its submission?
Not yet. I was going to do that to ask him one more question about this, but it seems like the objection is overruled. I am going to ask for it to be admitted.
Move to admit now.
Yeah, I'm moving to admit it now.
So what's that, Exhibit 4A?
Yeah, 4A and the Exhibit 28A for the same reasons.
Okay. Now, as to weight, that's a different issue, right? So both will be admitted, and then the public auditor will determine what weight to give those documents.
Understood.
Understood. Yeah, thank you. Okay, Mr. Lee, thank you for that. I'm not sure I asked you this, I think I did, but I want to make sure. Is it your understanding based on the corporate research that you looked at and the personal experience you had with HIC, that HIC and SD Farm are two different entities?
It is a two different entities. One is private, one is a corporation.
Okay. And SD Farm is not simply just a changed name of HIC, do you understand?
I don't believe so.
All right, Mr. Lee, I want to ask you, have you been paid for the last month-to-month work you've done with GVB?
Yes.
Okay. You've been paid for March?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. You've been sitting here during this, and I want to make sure we address this. There was this question of complaints that were raised against you since you filed your protest.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with those complaints that were raised since you filed your protest?
Yes.
You understand that those complaints were that you were not paying your vendors?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you tell me why you may have had some problems paying the vendors?
Well, we usually get the invoice from the vendor, and we send it to GBB, and GBB paid to TLK. Then we pay to the vendor. And many times the GBB, the invoice payment, is delayed. Sometimes 2 months delay. The worst case was like 4 month delay. So to make up the payment that has been stopped, sometimes there is a delay on a payment to the vendor.
Have your vendors since been paid?
Yes.
And I want to ask also about the sort of the course of conduct of how you've been working with GBB, because that was raised earlier too.
Mm-hmm.
When did you first start working with GBB again on this?
2008.
And since 2008, has it always been TLK's practice with GBB to take invoices from vendors, give them over to GBB, and then get payment for that to pay the vendor?
Yes, that's my knowledge.
Is that how you've done it?
For the last 8 years.
Did you receive any complaints from GBB, or you hear any complaints about that prior to the complaints that came after you filed your protest?
No.
Could I just interject there? You heard Gina Cotto
mm-hmm.
say that it's their understanding
yes.
that when you submit an invoice,
yes.
GBB's understanding is that it has already been paid.
No, that's incorrect.
No, but that's what she said.
Yes.
Do you recall that?
Yes, I recall that.
But from your perspective,
yes.
you are waiting for GBB to pay you and the vendors, and then you in turn.
That's right.
So
ma'am, good example is the March invoice that we haven't got it. Vendors are screaming at me right now. Where is the money at?
And do you recall me asking this question, how could a small vendor pay a $100,000+ bill?
Yes.
Out of his own pocket awaiting.
Yes.
So since 2008, which is over 5-7 years, there has been this gross misunderstanding that GVB, quote, has assumed you have paid and are asking for, they use the word reimbursement, and then you all this time have said you do not pay until the check is received. Isn't after almost 8 years, I find this hard to believe.
Well then, actually 2013 RFP was two RFP. One is for the PR and one is for the GSA. And at that time we got the GSA. And for PR, Promac is the one that who got it. And the payment structure was exactly the same as ours.
Meaning GVB?
No. We submit the invoices, GVB paid to the Promac, Promac paid to the vendors.
Promac did not pay ahead of time. Promac would wait until GVB paid them, then they in turn paid the.
Yes, ma'am. The same with the HSA that we work on. They bill us, we send it to GVB head office, they pay us, then we pay to HSA.
Thank you.
In the 8 years that you've been operating under this course of conduct, this was not an issue. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's only become an issue since you filed your protest, is that correct as well?
That's
okay. Is do you have understanding about how other other contractors that work for the government of Guam, like or GVB, like you, other marketing groups, do you know how their vendor payment system works?
I don't know.
Foundation.
Okay, but you do understand that the, at least in the PROMAC situation for the PR that worked.
PROMAC and HIC.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lee. I've got nothing further for you. I may have a few more questions after Mr. Fisher's done.
Mr. Fisher.
Sir, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fisher.
TLK Marketing, they have this contract with the Guam, they had a contract with the Guam Visitors Bureau. In the course of this 8 years, did TLK Marketing have any other contracts with any other entity?
Not that I know of.
So you and TLK worked exclusively for the Guam Visitors Bureau?
No, there's a time that, as I mentioned, that there was a two RFP was going,
mm-hmm.
like for PR is one sector, and GSA is another sector.
Now my question, sir, was TLK, did TLK do work for other people or entities or companies than GVB?
No.
Only work for GVB?
Yes.
And how many vendors do you think that TLK had in the course of your service to GVB?
More than hundreds.
More than 100 or hundreds?
More than hundreds.
Okay. And your statement to the public auditor was that your understanding was that invoices you received were then given to GVB and GVB would pay.
Yes.
Okay, and that's your understanding of what happened.
Objection, that misstates his testimony. His testimony was that...
It's confirmed it.
Because you misstated the testimony, the objection is that the testimony from earlier was that the invoice would be submitted to GVB and GVB would pay TLK, not that GVB would pay it. So I think okay. The question should be clarified.
Okay, pay TLK. Mm-hmm. Do you understand the clarification?
Yes.
Okay, is that what happened?
Yes.
Do you know the accounting principle of lapping?
Nope.
Never heard that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So just for clarification, what happened would be vendors would submit the invoices to TLK, TLK would submit the invoices to GVB, and when GVB paid, TLK, then TLK would pay the vendors.
That's right.
Is that what you asked, and that's what he answered?
I think that was the clarification that Josh put in. you're fluent in the English language?
I'm speaking right now.
Yeah. Are you fluent in the English language?
Not the legal terms, but yes.
Okay. Are you fluent in the English language as written?
Yes.
Okay, so you understand written English?
Not the legal terms, but standard English. Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Do you have Agency Bravo in front of you?
Agency Bravo?
I don't understand that.
That's the contract
for
Bravo.
That's the contract between TLK and GVB.
Oh.
It was marked as Agency Bravo. Could be. May I approach you for the purpose of looking at the...
Yes.
Sir, can I make sure you've got your...
That's it.
Okay, he's located, I'll show it to you.
Yes.
Oh.
Sir, I'd invite your attention to page 15 of 23 in this exhibit.
Okay.
And have you found that?
Yes.
Okay, do you see your signature anywhere on that?
Yes.
Okay, and have you signed on behalf of TLK Marketing Company?
Yes, I did.
All right, and sir, I'd ask you then to look at page 21 of this 23-page document?
Yes.
And paragraph B?
Yeah.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Second paragraph under,
mm-hmm.
well, subparagraph, second subparagraph under paragraph B. This says GVB shall reimburse contractor. for outsourced third-party costs, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not understand that when you signed this contract?
I was gonna make an objection just on the point of relevance. I do understand that in these proceedings we have discussed payment issues. However, this is not relevant to the issue of the selection of HIC, or not relevant to the ultimate issues at the reason for this appeal. These are tangential issues that were raised subsequent to the agency's reports that may have some bearing in a future debarment proceeding if GPV wants to go through that, or some future contract dispute, but has no bearing and is completely irrelevant to the reasons for the selection of HIC over TLK.
Just that both parties have made a big issue of it throughout these proceedings, and this is a line of questioning that.
May I add to that?
Yes.
The objection would be the objection to the extent to that for a legal conclusion, because this is a contract. The council is asking him to interpret one sentence of the scope of work without taking into consideration other relevant provisions. Mr. Lee is not an attorney. He says he could read English, but he doesn't understand legal terms.
It's overruled. I think the question is fair, since Mr. Lee signed the contract and has testified regarding his understanding regarding how invoices were to be paid.
Sir, I'll repeat the question. It says in this, beginning with this second subparagraph under B,
mm-hmm.
GBB shall reimburse contractor for outsourced third-party costs. Did you not understand that when you signed this contract?
Probably not.
Right. On a separate topic, sir, you mm-hmm. stated that the reason for your protest is because you don't believe HIC has the requisite 5 years experience.
Right.
You also stated that if PROMAC had won, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
You wouldn't have protested.
Right.
And you wouldn't have been in your appeal.
Right.
Okay, so the basis, and you are the owner of TLK?
Yes.
And you are the disappointed offerer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yes.
So the basis for your protest and appeal then is that HIC did not have 5 year requisite experience.
That is correct.
Okay. And but for that, that lack of 5 year experience, you don't have a problem.
Objection. I understand it's a question. We're trying to do, it misstates the nature of what's before the OPA. The grounds for the protest were delineated clearly in the notice of appeal. He's not an attorney. So to the extent that counsel's trying to elicit from the disappointed offerer the complete legal world of why he's protesting so as to eliminate such things in the findings of fact and conclusion of law, I think that's improper. The notice of appeal clearly written by attorneys representing the witness clearly say why he's appealing. He may be appealing on the five-year issue, but to simply say that that's the only reason misstates
the case. It's not going to constitute a waiver of the grounds that TLK has raised in its appeal.
Okay, if I can be heard, I don't think it constitutes a waiver either, but he owns the case, and he has explicitly stated in response to their question and not mine that if PROMAC won, he wouldn't be here.
Right.
But he is here. But
five-year issue.
But he is here because of the five-year issue.
Right.
It's not for us as attorneys to construct the case that they think they are aggrieved, about which they think they are aggrieved. So, I think you made your ruling. So, okay. All right. Okay, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Do you have any redirect?
Mr. Lee?
Yes, ma'am.
Your understanding with respect to the Exhibit B in front of you, your contract with GBB,
mm-hmm.
is that you would get, you would submit your invoice and you would get paid.
Yes.
And then you would pay your vendors.
Yes.
And that's contained in the body of, I'll direct you to section. Your
Agency B. Bravo.
Apparently, this is not my marked version. Page 3, Section 8, correct?
Yes.
All right. And this is your understanding of how your invoices, TLK invoices, was to be paid?
Right.
All right. And your understanding of the scope of work was the scope of work, what you're supposed to do, your duties and obligations, that's attached as an Exhibit 1.
That is correct.
To this contract, correct?
Yes.
And that you was, it is also further your understanding that, and I direct you to page 13.
So Ms. Tang, I mean, you, yeah, obviously the rules don't, the rules of evidence don't apply. You are asking leading questions. You can do so, but.
Right, I understand. I will. Go to page 13. Section 28,
mm-hmm.
Roman numeral.
Yes.
What is your understanding of the ownership of the materials?
Well, once the payment is fully paid by the GBB, then we could release all the belongings of our GBB, I guess.
Right. And I think earlier Mr. Fisher had asked you about one of the reasons that you were protesting, which is the five-year requirement mm-hmm. for HIC, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then
yes.
in the course of after protest, that first initial protest was filed, you received additional documents.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
The Sunshine Act
yes.
documents. And did you review those documents?
Yes.
And did certain documents concern you?
Very much so with unfairness in the communication to other offerer.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly believe it's a wrongful award
okay.
after I seen the Sunshine Act.
Did you feel that TLK and the other offerers were fairly unfairly treated?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Fisher?
Yes, thank you. I believe, sir, we're still on Agency Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ms. Tang, it wasn't clear. I think she asked about page 3,
mm-hmm.
paragraph E, invoices.
Yes.
This says that contractors shall submit invoices itemized in U.S. currency within 30 days following completion of projects. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, it doesn't say before projects begin, does it?
Yes.
It does say that, or it does not say that?
He's saying yes, it does not say that.
Yes, it does not say that? Okay.
Right, Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Yes, we have your good hands. Okay, and for projects, and referring to Delta there, approval of projects, it requires you to request approval from GBB prior to the projects, correct? It says 60 days in advance.
Where is it?
I'm sorry, which section were you
Delta, on page 3.
Page 3, yes.
Okay, it says at least 60 days in advance, correct, of the intended start date?
Objection, relevance, we're outside. I mean, I think the issue is payment. What does this have
to
do with
that? I think it goes to the issue you guys have been going back and forth on regarding how invoices are to be paid.
That's correct. Do you see Delta?
Yes.
Does it require you to, let's use the language out of the contract, shall you to request approval of recovery promotions or projects at least 60 days in advance?
That's for the representative.
Okay.
I'm a GSA at that time.
Okay. Well, this is a GSA contract, is it not?
Well, even though he says this way, but at the KMC meeting.
Is this a contract between you? Is this
please
a contract
answer,
between
please
you?
Please let the witness respond. You cut
so,
the witness off.
I think you did.
Make your statement. Then give your answer, and if you have an objection, then you.
He had an earlier answer. He was cut off.
Okay. So.
Is.
Sorry, Mr. Fisher.
Yeah.
Let me just ask him. Did you give your answer?
No, sir.
Okay. So you'll hear his question, and you can answer. Okay?
Yes.
Is this a contract between TLK and the Guam Visitors Bureau?
That is correct.
Okay. And then referring you to page 3, do you see subparagraph Delta?
Yes.
Does this say the contractor shall request GBB's approval of any media, special promotions, etc., at least 60 days in advance?
Uh, says there, but for the practice that I'm having with the GBB as a GSA.
My question, sir, is
objection,
doesn't my
please
question,
let the witness
my,
respond.
He's not.
We have to have a clear record. So, what's your response?
The practice.
Practice is that unless it's a bigger amount that the project cost, then we just go ahead and do it ourselves.
And what?
We just do it by ourselves without a GBB approval.
Okay, did you understand my question?
Yes, I did.
Okay, then let me ask it again. I'm referring to page 3 of 23, paragraph delta.
Yes, I see that.
Does it require that the contractor request GBB's approval for these numerous things, which we're all reading, at least 60 days in advance?
Yeah, I see that.
Okay, and it says, use the word contractor. Now I'm gonna ask you to look at the front page of this document.
Uh-huh.
In the opening first paragraph, is TLK Marketing Company mentioned?
Yes.
Is it also identified as the contractor?
Yes.
Going back then to page 3, does, except paragraph echo, E, does it say that contractor shall submit invoices itemized in U.S. currency within 30 days following completion of the project?
Right.
Okay. Now, you observed that this document we've been looking at is a contract for a general sales agent, correct?
That is correct.
Now, the RFP that you have protested is for tourism representation services, is that correct? Tourism destination marketing representation services?
Correct.
Okay. So, this is a different contract from the one you held, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry, sir, you have to say yes.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
I've got just one minor issue, but maybe it doesn't require witness testimony. Earlier, you know, we swapped out one of the March 10th letter so we could put the cover letter on. I think we did that with Exhibit 18, the email. I want to do the same thing with Exhibit 19. That's the other letter from March 10th that terminated his services. But this one's the complete one with the email on the front and the attachment.
From GBB?
Yeah, from GBB. Sarah, she just printed it out for us. She's in our office. Gina Cono's email.
Okay.
Are you okay with this, or do I need to take testimony?
I probably am.
The Exhibit 19 previously was just a letter. Yeah, you have to take it.
Well, no.
Okay. So if you're okay with that, then we don't need testimony on it.
So that's Exhibit 19A?
Exhibit 19A, and I'll hand it over.
Submitted. You're going to submit it?
Yes, now.
Could I just ask him a question
about
section that was covered by Mr. Fisher? All right, Mr. Lee. Yes. I think you were going to explain before we were cut off about the KMG meeting.
Right.
And how often are they?
It's once a month.
Okay. These are Korean Marketing Group Committee. KMC.
Right.
And who is in this committee?
All the vendors and Mr. Bud Jackson and his name.
I'm sorry, you're fading. I can't read.
Mr. Bud Jackson and Mr. M as a chairman and vice chairman, and some of the vendors of the travel industry people.
And yourself?
I am at the Korea side.
Yeah. Oh, well, you call in.
Yes.
Yes. And do you have communications, regular communications with Gina?
Yes.
And GBB, other GBB individuals? Or
that's correct,
GBB?
Yes.
Right. And how often do you communicate with them?
Every day.
Right. And during these conversations, during the KMC meetings,
right.
do you discuss ongoing projects?
That's correct.
And you discuss the status of those projects and the next steps and
mm-hmm.
the budgets, and those are all discussed during those meetings?
That's correct.
And if there's any questions are posed during those meetings?
Yes.
Sorry, counsel represented that she would be asking questions about this paragraph. Delta.
It's also beyond the scope.
All right, so I just want to ask you, one with respect to D,
mm-hmm.
the approval of projects,
mm-hmm.
earlier counsel, Mr. Fisher asked if the 60-day was required, there's a 60-day advance requirement for projects.
Mm-hmm.
The practice is that with respect to your contracts for the last 8 years that you've been discussing.
You can ask at leading, but the weight that's going to be given to it will be different than if he...
That's fine. All right. Mr. Lee?
Yes.
So what is the practice of how you communicated and got approval for projects in the last 8 years?
Every project has to be on the KMC report. And if there's a question from KMC, we have to provide it in terms of like cost, what kind of benefit we're gonna get, or what kind of ROI we're gonna get. If there's any other question on that, then we just move on to the project without approval from GBP.
But those projects are discussed at the KMC meeting?
Yes, and as I told you, we regularly email with Gina Kono, and we usually let her know what kind of project is coming and what kind of cost it will have.
Have you, in the last 8 years, have you ever had any objections to paying invoices due to your not having first obtained the approval of GBB before proceeding the project?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
All right, so the parties are agreeing to waive oral argument and the parties, rather, closing argument, and the parties will submit findings of fact and conclusions of law. Those will be due. And you want those due? So the proposed deadline for those would be a week from today.
I would ask for an extension on that. My schedule is such that I just don't think it's practical that I would be able to prepare and submit those by the 17th.
Okay.
I would ask for 2 weeks.
I would ask that we stick to the 1 week. I have an extremely intense schedule, and I'm prepared to work weekends and day and night to get this out because I think it's in the interest of the chair to get it done quickly.
Oh.
I'm sure that he has associates who can assist on this, but we are going to work, do what it takes to get it done. I'm prepared to do that.
All the comments are appreciated. I think the public auditor wants to establish a reasonable time frame. So, Mr. Fisher, 22nd, okay, which is Monday.
Well,
that's fine. Thank you.
I think the question was addressed to me, actually. If I could have a moment to look.
Sure.
Okay. I may have 20 seconds. That would be Thursday?
I think it's a Monday, isn't it?
When you said September, did you mean August?
August.
Okay. I would ask for the full 2 weeks. If the public auditor thinks the 22nd is an absolute necessity, we will comply, but I would ask for the other 2 weeks. I would also suggest that in lieu of preparing these documents, it's only 4:25, we're prepared to make the closing argument.
I think the findings of fact and conclusions of law will be helpful to
that's fair
determination
enough.
Of the case.
Fair enough, but we would ask for the 2 weeks.
I mean, if the parties have but the concern is that then you're going to want another opportunity to respond to their findings of fact and conclusions of law.
No, I don't.
That's going to be the only submittal then.
Yeah, right from either side.
Yeah, I think we're.
Okay, then that's fine. We don't have to go back.
All right, so 2 weeks from today, the parties will submit their findings of fact and conclusions of law. And then a decision will be issued by the public auditor within 30 days thereafter.
Okay, and that would be August 24th?
Yes, August 24th. And the decision would be issued on or before September 24th.
Thank you.
Just housekeeping, for purposes of our exhibits, I think you've overruled two of the objections to two of the exhibits.
So the inclination is that all of the exhibits that were referred to by the parties in their presentations are going to be admitted.
Great. Okay. Perfect.
And of course, the agency procurement record and so forth is also.
So when the parties submit their findings of fact and conclusions, will it be helpful if they reference the exhibits that they're relying upon in support of their proposed findings of fact and conclusions as well?
All right.
Is there anything? Are there any other matters?
No. Thank you very much for the.
If there's a request for transcripts by either party, could notice be exchanged?
We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that at this stage.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I think if anyone wants transcripts, do it at your own expense.
Well,
but it's not going to delay the submittals and the decision.
No.
If you want to do it at your own,
absolutely fine.
Right. All I'm saying is, if either both sides, if they intend to do that, could notice the other side.
I don't think it's necessary. If you want to transcribe it, transcribe it yourself.
Yeah. What's the concern, Mr. Fisher?
Well, I'm just wanting notice if transcripts are being prepared. That means that
transcripts
the tapes would have
of
been
what?
Of these hearings.
Well, the hearings will be posted tomorrow on our website.
Okay.
That because when we have continuations, we don't post the hearings, and because. So sometime tomorrow or thereabouts, in the next few days, OPA staff will post all the transcripts on our website.
The recording.
I'm sorry. My apologies. The hearing recording.
That'd be awesome.
No transcripts. No transcripts.
Are you sure?
I know. Somebody called Cyril and George right away.
So thank you. The
thank
presentations
you.
Were very
thank
thorough
you.
And helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We're off the record at 4:28 p.m.